Welcome to a guest-free edition of Dimes and Dozens. Aww. It's just us chickens.
Oh my God.
Unfortunately, fortunately, I don't know. I mean, I feel like we're less exciting when it's just the two of us, but it's also, it's been a while since we haven't had a guest.
Yeah, it's been three episodes, I think, in a row that we've had guests.
And then we skipped a week. Yeah. Because of the All-Star break, like the NBA should have taken the week off. We took the week off.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's been a minute. So,
yeah. Sorry.
Let's see if we still know how to do this. How do we fill an hour without other people?
Yeah. I can like pretend to be someone else.
It's like when you move in with your significant other and you're just like, oh, like we, like you can only go on so many dates, you know?
Listen.
Now we just have to like enjoy each other, like, all the time. That seems difficult.
Yeah.
Rough. But so first thing on the docket was a blessed thing that came into my bank account this week. And I believe it came into everyone's bank account by now.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Stimmy time.
Wow.
Stimothy Chalamet. Stim Reaper.
Stem cell research.
Stem cell research. Oh, that's my favorite.
Oh my God.
That's my favorite. That's great. So for me, it was really funny because the first thing I bought was this pair of Air Force Ones that have been in my cart for like 2 months. Mm-hmm. And they're super cool. I sound like I was about to say them like a European accent. Super cool.
Super cool, yes.
They're like really, I don't know, they're like kind of modern white with like snakeskin swooshes and like snakeskin accents. Ooh. They're really cool. So I posted a picture of them when they came in the mail. And to be fair, I did order them like a couple days before the Stimmy hit because I was like, I know it's coming.
Yeah.
Which isn't quite the same as getting it with the Stimmy, but whatever. Anyway, I posted a picture of them on the internet, celebratory, like, look, my stimulus gift to myself came. And most people were like, oh, those are really cool. Sneakers, whatever.
Yeah.
And then one guy was like completely just so upset and was just like, how dare you flaunt this when there are people dying and starving? 500,000 people have died from this disease. Like this, checks are supposed to be to help people for like rent and food. And I'm like, it's literally called a stimulus. It's supposed to stimulate the economy. Which
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
But yeah, but I just responded and I was like, area man very upset that strange woman on the internet buys sneakers.
Yeah, that's insane.
Which is the headline that I assess to that situation.
I guess we can never buy anything. It's like you just like literally,
right?
Because you know what, because
like, there are people dying.
There are
so
people
how could
dying
you, how dare you
literally constantly. And I know that you area man aren't doing much about that, let's be honest.
I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, did you donate your entire stimulus check to the homeless?
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Malaria?
And it's also like, okay, it's impossible for us as human beings to fully take in, nor should we, fully take in the amount of just horror happening in the world at any given moment, mm-hmm, because it's too much and we would implode, you know?
Yeah.
So I understand that it's just not possible to fully take in that even when it's not COVID, just like a horrible atrocities are happening across the globe at any given moment. When you're getting married, when you're going shopping, there's literal fucking genocide happening across the world. So I understand that there is like a cognitive dissonance there, but it's also like, dude, it's fucking sneakers.
Yeah.
It's a pair of sneakers.
Yeah. And it's literally not like you're like, look at my boat, which
yeah,
would be a pretty shitty
like, look
boat
at
with
my fucking Balenciaga. So. Like this is a pair of fucking Nikes, dude. They were $100. They were 1/14th of my stimulus check.
He was scrolling. He probably commented that like 800 times.
No. And then it was crazy because like a bunch of people. This is a lot of talking about Twitter in real life.
No,
feels a little Fight Club-esque. But he was like, people were like coming to my defense, which is very sweet. But they were like, you know, they're like, she's entitled to have sneakers or whatever. I don't know. And then he was basically like, he accused me of like lacking compassion and empathy. And then he called me a hollowed out crapo lantern was the phrase he used. Okay, but then I was like, ah, yes, you, the arbiter of empathy, going into strangers' mentions and calling them crap-o-lanterns. Like, yes, this checks out.
Hollowed out.
I guess what I mean to say is
that
I can't believe Twitter's free. I really can't. Yeah. Every day of my life. Somehow, I can't believe that I don't get paid to do it and also don't believe that I pay to use it at the same time. Does that make sense? Like, there's no in between. Like, either we should be paying Twitter or Twitter should definitely be paying us.
I once again, you know, you have significantly more followers than I have, and like a lot of our guests have been like, Twitter's no fun when you have more followers.
And you're like, can't relate.
last night I tweeted Romeo and Jizliet. Because I know it doesn't matter.
Because no one's going to see it.
It doesn't fucking matter.
I will say that you have more followers than me on every other platform.
Right. Yes.
So don't you know, don't feel too bad for Tolliver.
Right. But Twitter's where the toxic interactions really live. You know, people on Instagram usually are just like, whatever. But, you know, if I tweeted my sneakers, nobody would give a shit. They'd be like, whatever.
No one would give a shit. And I mean, it is true. It's like Twitter gets exponentially less fun the more people who are paying attention to you. Because for every, you know, 20 people who are like, oh, cool sneakers, there's at least one reliably every single time who's like, you are the devil for having sneakers. And you are going to die in a burning fiery inferno. I cannot
believe you did this to all of us.
How dare you? Don't you know that Nike is slave labor? And like, he didn't even bring that up. I was like, you really just left that out there. Like, that's just points on the board, dude.
I spent like a stupid. I like...
Did you spend your whole stimulus already?
I had to stop looking because I was really just...
I did a little too much shopping. I'm not going to lie to you, Tolliver. Yeah. Like, there's a decent amount of it left. There is not as much left after 4 days as there should be. As someone who definitely lives below the poverty line, like, I should not.
Yeah. Mine was like Postmates.
How do you spend $1,400 on Postmates in one week? Store. What are you Postmating?
Record store. Bunch of books I'm never going to read. Like, never. Never.
Why is that? What is that phenomenon of, like, because I do that too, like, feeling the compulsive need to acquire books as someone who has maybe read a total of 3 books in the last year.
Thank you. Exactly.
I don't know what that's about.
I read one and a half because one was like an essay, a bunch of essays. So a book and a half I've read in the last year. And there's just no hope. I like walk past the bookstore and they're in the window. And I'm like, that would feel good to have that.
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, I mean, it could be worse. We could be buying NBA Top Shot.
Yeah.
Shots fired. NBA Top Shots fired. Am I right? Oh, but
I truly, Top Shot and like NFTs, I'm like, I don't want to, no.
Somebody DM'd me the other day and was like, I would love to, like, I'm really into this and I would love to help Tiny Deaths like start releasing music in NFTs. Like, you know, it could be really lucrative. And I had that sort of two roads diverged force moment. And I'm like, I'm definitely going to look back on this moment and be like, you should have taken that guy's like help when he offered to help you with this. And then there's the other part of me that's like, that screenshot that's like, I'm not reading all that, but congratulations or sorry that happened. That's like how I feel about NFTs.
Yeah.
I'm just like, there's no chance that I'm going to educate myself enough to participate in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so then, I basically wrote back and I was like, it's not really my bag, but thank you so much for reaching out. And like, for sure, I'm going to see that guy's name in a headline and be like, why does that look so familiar? And it's like, billionaire acquires entire island. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's just like the stories of people when they're like, oh, yeah, my cousin got into Bitcoin early and now
he has
3 homes. And I'm like,
I have $25 worth of Bitcoin that is now probably like $24.18. And I'm like, God damn it.
I've invested in nothing.
My entire life. Truly, like, having money. I have a friend who's very wealthy. He's a photographer and he's done very well for himself. And he's now he's day trading as like a hobby.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's a level of wealth that is like truly aspirational, to just have money where you're like, this is like play money. Like, I can just like throw it in the stock market and see what happens.
Like, no big deal.
Versus like knowing how much is in your bank account down to the dollars and cents, which is where I've always lived.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, like if like people are like, I write songs for people who blah, da, da, da. I'm like, I write songs for people who have to check their checking account balance before they do a big shop at the grocery store. Cause that's my, those are my people.
I tried to buy something from Amazon recently. And then it like didn't work, and I was like, "Oh my god, somebody must have gotten into my account."
You're like, but "Oh, that definitely could not be
because they had not gotten into my account."
Narrator,
into my account.
It was Tolliver. It was Tolliver postmating himself into oblivion.
Oops.
Okay, but yeah. So what have you? So you've gotten Postmates. You've gotten books. I got sneakers. I got really expensive lingerie. The most purposeless thing ever, as we know, the current state of my life.
Summertime.
Which reminds me, did I tell you that I went to a primary care doctor for the first time in so long? Whoa. And got a checkup, and they did a whole like panel to see what vitamins I was deficient in, and I could not make it up. The only vitamin I'm deficient in is vitamin D. I couldn't make it up, Tolliver.
So the doctor just looks at you like,
I had to keep a straight face while she told me that I was doing great in every department except that I was deficient in D. Ooh. And I was like, I could have told you that, bitch.
I would have been like, can you give me one second?
I did not need a doctor's appointment.
Grab my phone that. And be like, can you say that again? And just start recording.
Can you say that again for my TikTok? Yeah, my life. But yeah, so I bought laundry no one will ever see. I bought really cool Air Force Ones that I won't wear except probably like 5 times because they're blazingly white and I'm scared to get them dirty.
Oh, God, yeah.
I'm definitely going to wear it in the Staples Center as soon as games are a thing, though, because that's a sick Staples Center look.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty dope.
What else did I get? I got new makeup because I watched a video of Rihanna. I don't know if you ever go down YouTube wormholes. I'm sure you do. Mm-hmm. But I was lying in bed one night and I couldn't sleep, and I was watching like Rihanna interviews, and somehow I went up on a wormhole of her doing makeup tutorials, which is like the most soothing thing ever if you've never watched it, because it's like her and her Barbadian accent, which is like so soothing, like teaching you how to put on makeup. And all of a sudden I was like, man, I don't own like makeup. Like I am not like a proper, you know, adult woman in that way. Like I don't own a full spectrum. I've had my makeup done for things before by professionals, but they bring their own makeup.
Right.
So I just decided all of a sudden that I needed everything that was in the Rihanna video.
Mm-hmm.
And when my stimulus check came, I like hit Sephora hard.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That's so popping. I have a makeup kit, but it's like, I'm scared to use it because it's literally like $13. That I bought on Amazon.
Yeah, no, this is like hundreds of dollars worth of makeup, which I'm not proud of necessarily, but I did have to, I had a photo shoot via Zoom yesterday, actually with a photographer in Germany. It was really cool. Wow. It's like nighttime, her time.
Yeah.
But I had to do my own makeup for it, obviously. And so I was like watching YouTube tutorials on how to contour.
Wow.
And I don't even know if you've ever seen someone in the process of contouring their face, but it looks fucking crazy before you blend it in, because you're just drawing lines on your face where you wish you had definition in your bone structure.
Yeah, like it's very it in or whatever. Yeah,
it's like putting an Instagram filter on your face in real time. Like it's really weird.
Yeah.
But I used my Fenty Beauty, you know, stick or whatever that I learned about from Rihanna.
Well, your makeup on the show last night looked great. So I don't know if that was the same makeup.
That was the same makeup from the shoot.
You crushed
it.
Yeah.
That's what I would look like if I had cheekbones.
There you go.
It's crazy too, because I use the Paris filter on Instagram a lot. I don't know if you use that filter ever. It's like the first one over when you swipe. It's like the lazy person's filter, because it's like you don't have to swipe through any of the other ones. It's like the very first one you swipe, and it's like, cool, looks good. But I think that one smooths your skin a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's gotten me to the point where I'm not used to the way I look without it.
Oh, wow.
And that's scary, I think. Yeah. Right? Like seeing your skin with like texture, you're just like, ah. Because you're just so used to it just being like perfectly smoothed over.
Actually,
when I put on makeup yesterday, I was like, oh, this looks like the filter on Instagram. Like, this is, you can do that in real life. That's crazy.
I make mine way worse. I use structure, you know?
What's that?
It's like, it makes the image just look more like fucking like,
oh, it's that, that's like what it
lines
looks like?
And shit, you know? Because I think it makes it look more like an old timey vintage thing if I do that.
Oh, interesting. I like truly discovered what makeup does yesterday. I was like, oh, this is why people own makeup, because it's like my brain literally thought the sentence, this is looks like the Instagram filter but in real life. And I was like, no, it's definitely the opposite of that. The Instagram filters are makeup, which you always could have had this whole time.
Uh-huh.
This entire time before Instagram, before all of it, you could have been wearing makeup and your face could have just looked like that. But it never occurred to me. I was just like, it seems like a lot of work.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'll use it again unless I have a photo shoot or something. I mean, it was a lot of work. Like I watched multiple tutorials I still didn't do a very good job.
I don't know how a remote photo shoot even works. That scares me.
It was on Zoom. So I just sort of like posed, and it was really weird because you can see yourself, which normally in a photo shoot, obviously you can't.
Yeah.
So it's like makes you way more self-aware about like, wow, I look weird at that angle or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was cool. I mean, I like didn't have to leave my house, so that part's nice, you know, as far as like photo shoot.
But how is she...
There was no catering, which is a bummer.
How is she taking the picture though?
She had a pull. This is probably riveting content. But
I'm just
had,
curious, you know.
She had the screen, like the Zoom session, my face projected on like a bigger like TV screen.
Okay.
And then she took a photo of that with her Polaroid camera. It was like a Polaroid shoot. Okay. It was like for a Polaroid or whatever. So she had to use Polaroid film and Polaroid filters and whatnot. But so she like was taking pictures of the projection of me on a screen, but like blown up to human size.
Wow.
Yeah, it was really, it was pretty cool. Creative, the pictures turned out rad.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So good to know we're both throwing our money in the toilet.
That's right. Yes, yes, yes.
Speaking of throwing things in the toilet, my soul got thrown in the toilet yesterday. Tolliver, when I tell you that I've missed one Laker game in as long as I can literally fucking remember, I watched them all, okay? I watched them all. I watched them when they play the Wizards. I watched them when they play the fucking Hot. Like,
not me.
The both Timberwolves games. Like, truly, every dumpster diving Laker game that doesn't matter, I have watched. But there was one game against the Hawks where I had a photo shoot and I was like, whatever, it's a 12 p.m. game on a Sunday or a Saturday against the fucking Atlanta Hawks, I can miss this one, I have a photo shoot, it's whatever. And LeBron busted his ankle and is out indefinitely.
I hate that word.
Listen up, you people. I leave you in charge of LeBron's health for one day.
Yeah.
And this is what you do.
LeBron knew you weren't watching.
You let this happen. They knew I wasn't watching.
He was like, Claire's not tuning in, I can't, I don't know if I could do this.
It concerns me how upset I got about a non-career ending injury to a complete stranger yesterday. It fucked my day up, dude.
Yeah.
I was really upset.
Yeah. I mean,
I am really upset.
Fuck several weeks up because he's out indefinitely.
I mean, so he's not a person. He's a, you know, animatronic like superhero. So I know his recovery time will probably be shorter than the projected time. But when I looked it up, it said 4 to 8 weeks.
So, once again, the seventh seed is calling our name.
I mean, Anthony Davis is probably not coming back until the playoffs. Now it looks like LeBron's not going to come back until the playoffs. If then, is it like catastrophizing the situation to wonder if he'll be okay in time for the playoffs?
I mean, that's the first thing I thought. I was like, is he going
to
miss the first
round? No one's really talking about that. I mean, people seem to be talking about it as far as like, okay, how much of the regular season is he going to miss and like what it means for his MVP case, which me personally, I don't even care. Just like wake me up when there's an MVP. I'm so sick of fucking talking about it at this point. I truly don't care. You're like, Chris Paul is the MVP. I'm like, cool, fine. Congratulations. Yeah, yeah, like, absolutely. I don't care. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I would love that, actually. Great.
I mean, you could make anyone who could win it, I'd be fine with at this point. I really don't. I'm like, good for you. Good for you and your family. Congratulations. Like, I don't give one single fuck. But it is true that LeBron and Embiid are probably out of the running at this point just because they're going to miss so much time.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
Like, what do you think this means for the Lakers? Like it's truly horrifying to picture a LeBron and AD-less Lakers. Like, what you're left with is, I get that they're a great bench. You know, I think they're the highest scoring bench in the league. They still have, like, the top-rated defense, I believe.
Yeah, they do.
But we're talking about Kyle Kuzma.
Stop.
Alex Caruso. Montrezl Harrell, if they keep him at the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Dennis Schroeder. I mean, this is not, they're not a playoff team without those two guys. Let's just put it that way.
Maybe the third seed in the East, you know.
They're the playoff team in the East. They are down in the depths of hell with the Sacramento Kings if they were a team in the West that didn't have LeBron and AD. Like, let's be real. I love the Lakers. You know I love the Lakers. Mm-hmm. It's bleak.
Yeah, I remember when Waz was on. He has like the Lakers panic meter or whatever.
Yeah, and he said he wasn't panicking, but then LeBron James got a high ankle sprain.
Yeah,
and
I want to ask now.
Yeah, so where's your panic meter at exactly?
Yeah,
because the thing is like, you know, obviously, you know, he's gonna, it forces LeBron to take a month of rest, which in some ways is maybe a good thing.
Yeah.
Like, but that's not a joke of an injury, and like coming back from that and having to come right into the playoffs, like, I don't know, it's scary. And he's older, and I know he is made out of solid steel and, you know, whatever, but he is, you know, a human being.
Yeah.
Despite certain evidence to the contrary. And
Space Jam, yeah.
I'm worried. I don't feel great. And I feel like the rest of the Lakers regular season is gonna be brutal to watch.
No, I absolutely was like, you know, coming into this year, I was like, title.
Oh, yeah. We had a full-on conversation at the beginning of the season. Like, there is no other team that even has a chance.
Yeah. Now.
Now.
Now I'm like, are they getting out of the West?
There are other teams with chances, I would say.
There are other teams with chances.
They have chances. There are several chances.
As long as the Clippers don't win the West, I don't know.
What do we have to do to prevent that from happening legally?
Yeah, that's how I
within
live my
the bounds
life.
Of legality, what do we have to do to prevent that from happening? Because I just really can't see. It would hurt my soul. First of all, here's a couple scenarios I want to pitch at you, Tolliver, mm-hmm. to just prep for how you would personally react, because I know that I would disintegrate into a puddle like I was the Wicked Witch of the West. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
The West, as it were. The Wicked Witch of the Western Conference. So picture Steve Ballmer's reaction if they won a championship. Just like sit with that for a
orgasmic.
Second.
Orgasmic.
Oh my God.
Disgusting.
Picture Paul George's post-game press conference if they won a championship.
No. Yeah.
Picture Pat Beverly's post-game press conference if they won a championship. Like these are realities that I am unwilling to reckon with.
Yeah. Are you ready Pat Beverly to like hoist a trophy?
No. No, no.
Thus validating his entire career of being a piece of
there
shit.
There are two good things that would happen if the Clippers won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
Here are the two good things.
Okay.
Isaac Lee would be happy. Okay. My homie Isaac.
Got it.
Carl Tart would be happy. The homie Carl.
Right.
Those are it. That's the two good things.
Those are
That's
the Clippers
only
fans.
Two things.
Those are the
two Clippers fans, and I would be very happy for all two of them.
Yeah. And they can put those billboards back up. You know?
Oh my God, those fucking billboards. Tolliver, they can't win.
There. You know, like LeBron wasn't playing.
But like, think of it. Okay. What if the Lakers, you know, don't win the West, which seems unlikely still, but what if it didn't happen? Do you think it would for sure be the Clippers? Do the Suns have a chance? Do the Jazz have a chance?
You know, I love the Suns. I just want to see Chris Paul win since the Rockets debacle. I've been like rooting for him.
Yeah.
But I don't think the Jazz have a chance just because I just don't believe in them outside of Donovan Mitchell. I know Rudy Gobert's playing.
Yeah, I think
they're
a fraud.
Yeah, it feels to me like the Bucks every single year. Like, oh, yeah, playing great. Oh, no, it didn't happen. So I guess the only other team that I could see, you know, winning if it's not the Clippers then is the Suns.
Yeah, I don't really believe that either. Yeah. I don't know.
I'm just like a Chris Paul stan, and I don't know when it happened. Or I do know when it happened, but I used to hate him.
I know.
I used to be like,
it happened
fuck that
when guy. I watched him go through what he went through in Houston. That's when that's what did
and
it.
And then
for
I was
me.
Like, okay. And everyone wrote him off, and I was like, you know, he'll show them. I don't know. You know, you get things you care about.
And it was
about,
pretty commendable what he did in Oklahoma City last year. Like that was pretty amazing to basically get sent somewhere to die and then to will them to the playoffs is pretty incredible.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, so one more like prediction related thing, because I know we've been doing a lot of predictions lately, there's not a ton happening in real time. So Anthony Edwards seems like he's truly making his case all of a sudden to be Rookie of the Year. I don't know if it's because Chris Finch is clearly a better coach. White guy, in case you forgot, he's clearly a better coach. I'm not going to just pretend that just because they're good now, it's okay the way they handled that. That's not okay. It's still not okay.
Good now, you know.
He's clearly a better coach than Ryan Saunders. He's doing a better job. Everyone's thriving under him. You know, Carl Anthony Towns is doing better. Anthony Edwards is doing way better. But it also sort of seems, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it kind of seems like he heard the chatter that like LaMelo had Rookie of the Year locked up. And he was like, hey, not so fast. I was the number one pick.
Right.
Like, I'm not going to give this away that easily.
Mm-hmm.
So do you think that he's made enough of a case over the last few weeks that it's like neck and neck now? Or do you think it's still like LaMelo over everything?
I think it's LaMelo over everything because people love a consistent king. We all love that. We love to see somebody. It's, you know, LaMelo's been, you know.
We love someone who looks like Derpy Drake. Sorry, that was so mean. And not
that was mean. I loved it, though. I honestly can't get a read on LaMelo's personality after all this time. I really, truly can't.
I've heard he's really sweet. I've heard, as I criticize his looks for no reason. I've heard he's really nice. I've heard he's a great kid with like a great... Okay. I heard an interview with James Borrego, the coach over in Charlotte. And I heard... I mean, he kind of has to say that his star player is great, you know, obviously. But he was saying that he's like... Seems like he's very polite and very like thoughtful and like a team player and... He sounds great.
That's lovely. All right. But yeah, I mean, I still think there's room for Anthony Edwards to come back and take it. And to be honest, TBH, just based on like the eye test, I prefer Anthony Edwards. I prefer to watch him play. He's like,
they're both amazing. I mean, it's remarkable to me because this was supposed to be such a shitty draft class, but they're both looking like potential like future Hall of Fame level players.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, Halliburton, who also has turned out to be really good, and Quickly and
Obi Toppin, of course.
There's a lot of like great talent that came out of this draft, so it's kind of amazing. But yeah, to me, I think they're neck and neck. I think it's going to depend. The thing that to me puts LaMelo over the edge is that Charlotte has really overperformed.
Yeah.
People definitely weren't putting them in the playoff hunt this year, and they're definitely right in there. Mm-hmm. Mind you, it's the East, but still. Whereas obviously the Timberwolves are like at the bottom of the standings and still not doing great, even though they have a new coach and they're doing better.
Yeah.
So unless the Timberwolves can make like a, you know, Cinderella run through the rest of the season and end up not at the very bottom anymore, I think that LaMelo probably has it locked up, but let me tell you, these like highlight reel dunks don't hurt his case.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's for sure.
The Wolves are what, 3-3 since the break? I don't know.
Yeah, they were 3-3 since the All-Star break. So, you know, on the one hand, when you're 15th in the Western Conference and dwindling in the, you know, depths of hell, 3-3 sounds pretty good. On the other hand, 3-3 is not a passing grade in
school. It's not a passing grade.
It's a 50%. It's a solid F.
That's an F.
So I know 500 is, you know, the fabled 500 in the NBA, but when you're 15th, you need to do better than 3-3. Just saying.
And who knows how they're going to end, you know.
But he's an incredible. I mean, he's an amazing, like the Timberwolves did not fuck up by picking him, I would say. Like he seems like he's great locker room energy. Like he hypes up his other teammates so much. I've heard amazing quotes from him about like Juancho Hernangómez and about Ricky Rubio. Like he really is like down and really wants to see his teammates succeed and like hypes them up. He is so confident. He's so fearless. He's super athletic.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he was a great pick. I think LaMelo is probably the biggest talent of that draft, but like, I think Anthony Edwards was like a totally, you can't really fault them for that pick. Like that's turned out great. He had a 40-point night the other night.
Yeah.
The team that really fucked up, I think, is Golden State because
No
one is talking about James Wiseman right now. Like,
and he's had plenty of opportunities to show.
They could have had LaMelo, dude. Imagine like LaMelo taking that sort of point guard burden off Steph so he can just make shots, which is what he really likes to do. Like, he would have fit so well in their system. He's like a generational talent. Like, it's...
You know, they were like, Clay Steph. We all get it. But...
I think that that's going to go down in history. Like, if LaMelo turns into the player it looks like he's turning into, like, I think that's going to go down in history as, like, almost as bad of a faux pas as, you know, like, Phoenix and Sacramento in the Luka draft, like, in Atlanta. It's crazy to me, like, how bad you can fuck up in a draft. But the other way to get players, of course, is to sign them and not draft them. Mm-hmm. And the trade deadline is coming up. And there are a few sort of like marquee names that are going to be maybe on the market for the trade deadline that people have been talking about. Those names being Andre Drummond, Kyle Lowry, and LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah.
Or like the three headliners. It sounds like maybe Kyle Lowry is just going to stay put in Toronto, at least for this year. That's sort of like the rumblings. He would obviously be an incredible fit in Philly. I believe he's from Philly originally, so that would be like a cool homecoming for him. But so like Kyle Lowry aside, because I feel like he's either going to stay in Toronto or go to Philly. Like I think those are basically what's going to happen with him.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about Drummond? What do you think about Aldridge? Is there anyone else sort of you think coming up at the trade deadline that might go somewhere?
I mean, the thing that excited me most, I know you just said he's probably either going to go to Philly or stay put, but I really want to see him on the Heat, like super bad. Like,
ooh, that's cool.
God damn. I would love to see that. And I think that would put them back, you know.
There's also Aaron Gordon in Orlando. Right, it looks like he's going to be on the market, but I think that they want more for him than they're probably going to get.
Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
I haven't even thought of Aaron Gordon trade destinations, but I would love to see him play for a team with like an actual shot at anything. Because Orlando is perennially just like making
so bad.
You're not doing well and not going anywhere. So that excites me. Andre Drummond, I'm still hoping it comes to the Lakers.
Where do you think he'll go if it's not the Lakers? Do you think the Nets will get him?
I don't know.
Just like keep hoarding people.
Yeah, exactly. Like do the Nets even want anyone else? Right?
I mean, they got Blake Griffin for like peanuts.
$20.
Because they got him on a buyout, so they can afford someone else.
Yeah, what did he turn down?
And like kind of, why million? Not? If you're trying to win a championship, like, I feel like the more talent, the merrier. At least that seems to be their philosophy. And it honestly, it's working out better than I would have anticipated.
Yeah.
Although we haven't really seen a Durant, Kyrie, James Harden lineup.
Yeah, they're just,
and what
like
that would look like.
Do-si-do-ing right now.
But it's really nice. What a luxury if you're Steve Nash that you don't even have to play the three of them ever, and you could just always have two of them out there always.
Yeah.
That's incredible. It's what a crazy, like, incredible luxury.
And they still do well. I would love to see them all together, but also I feel like it still would be a train wreck.
Where do you think LaMarcus Aldridge is going, if anywhere?
Yeah, I know. I mean, that's the one I just...
They announced that they're parting ways, and yeah. I'm like, that's fucking bold when you don't know where he's going.
Like a mutual, what do you call it? Mutual resignation or whatever.
Yeah, but it's also like, to me, first of all, awkward if he stays. Hella awkward. But then also, like, doesn't that kind of diminish the trade value if you're like, okay, he definitely is getting out of here? Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
He's not playing though, right? Like, he's not even traveling with the team or some shit like
but
that.
But that just seems weird to me to be like... Yeah, he's getting out of here, because then that gives the leverage to all of the other teams to be like, well, I know you need to get rid of him.
Right, yeah.
You know?
That's true. LaMarcus Aldridge, I mean, he's still playing well, but like, I don't know.
Is he?
I'm just not excited by him.
He's just like very like cumbersome and slow. And
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like maybe he's just lethargic because he isn't happy in a situation. Like, you never know.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What a change of scenery is going to do for someone, as we saw with James Harden. Suddenly he's like MVP candidate yeah. after he left Houston. Where he was in Houston, he looked like he was wearing a fucking Santa suit. I will never understand how he lost 20 pounds in a week.
What
we'll
an incredible
never.
Diet. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Thanks, Nutri-Slim.
It doesn't make any sense.
Thanks, anxiety.
Drop the diet routine, James yeah. Harden. Like, truly.
Yeah. So,
I
yeah.
was thinking, I heard someone talking about Portland, like a reunion with Portland. I know he didn't leave on the best terms, right. but it sounds like he and Dame Lillard have sort of hashed it out. And obviously, Portland is sort of tortured when it comes to big men. So exactly. maybe he could help out there.
Yeah. But
I
you can
know.
Tell from our tone that we're both like, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to move. He's not going to move the needle.
Exactly. Do you think that PJ you know? Tucker's going to.
I think he's going to help the Bucks just because the Bucks are like too nice for their own good. They just seem like they're a bunch of really delightful, sweet guys that would like totally help you if your car got stuck in a ditch. But they don't have a ton of like grit and like, you know, that sort of vibe. And I feel like PJ Tucker is a fucking dog.
Yeah.
And absolutely. So if nothing else, I think it'll be good for them to have that energy.
Yeah. I'm excited to see PJ Tucker play on the Bucks. I mean. I just
don't think anyone's beating the Nets.
That's
the East.
Exactly like, what I was gonna say. I was gonna say, like, as excited as I could be about it, I'm like, there's this albatross.
Is that the word that makes sense there? Sure, let's go for
sure.
it.
Sure. In the East of like the Nets, and so it's like, great, everybody do your best, but I just don't see it happening.
Right. Like, I hope everyone has fun.
I hope you have a great time leaving in the second round. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
I mean, the longer Giannis is in the league, the more I actually have really grown to love him. He's just a really lovable person, and I feel like this year in particular he's just sort of like, I'm just gonna have fun. I just signed a $1 billion contract yeah. and I'm just here for a good time, not a long time or whatever. But yeah. It must be weird to have this sort of looming presence in the background of being like, doesn't really matter who we get, like, cool, PJ Tucker, okay, they have like literally everyone else.
Yeah.
They have nothing but all-stars.
Yeah. And Joe Harris
doing who well. I think has been an all-star. Actually,
oh, has he?
Hasn't he? Maybe he hasn't been an all-star. He won the three-point shooting contest. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
Joe Harris has the squarest face I've ever seen.
Joe Harris looks like he would sell you a bespoke bicycle at Brooklyn.
Oh, absolutely.
Joe Harris is the poor man's Kevin Love.
I'm a poor man.
On looks alone, he's actually a better basketball player than Kevin Love at this juncture of their careers.
You think
probably.
that Kevin Love is hotter than Joe Harris?
I think so.
Hmm.
He has more money. He's better dressed, probably. I mean, he's richer than
wow,
God. I would
player.
Hope so.
Wow. Yeah.
Kevin
yeah.
Love is hot now. He's like a Banana Republic model. You're just thinking of Kevin Love. Your perception of him is colored by the fact that he used to be like a pudgy, nerdy Timberwolf.
That is actually, I can't let that
But he
go.
Doesn't look like that anymore. He yeah. looks like a hot Banana Republic dude.
Wow. All right. The more you know.
He's engaged to a Victoria's Secret model, in fact. Ugh.
Monster.
That doesn't really mean anything because people in the NBA date
means,
outside their pay grade
all
the
something.
Time.
It means something.
Okay. So before we go, I did want to just briefly touch on this week's infuriating subject. I mean, oh, it feels like there's something every week that's just fucking infuriating. And I just am mad all the time. This week it was in the NCAA, which is, I just want to start by saying the NCAA is like comically villainous.
Yeah, absolutely. They're
just like indefensible. And they, I feel like they were out of the news for a while because of like COVID and like they had to shut down college basketball and whatever. And it's like they came back and they're like, oh, I miss all the attention we used to get when everyone hated us. Yeah. Like, what can we do to like make everyone hate us again?
Yeah.
Because it's like already, you know, they're not paying these athletes.
Exactly.
Which is morally reprehensible.
Mm-hmm. Making millions. Billions.
They make millions and the coaches make millions and like everyone makes money except for the actual people who are doing the like labor.
Yeah.
But now they, you know, obviously everyone's probably seen this by now. Like they, one of the women... athletes at the tournament at March Madness was showing they're in two different places, right? Like the men's is in Indiana, the women's is in Texas, but so they had a photo/video or whatever of the men's weight room, which was like state-of-the-art enormous like gym filled with like every kind of weight lifting equipment you could ever desire.
Yeah.
And then the women's weight room, quote unquote, which was literally a picnic table with some weights and a couple yoga mats on it in a huge empty gym.
Yeah.
And then someone was like, apparently someone from the NCAA said that they were lacking in space.
Exactly.
And then they panned out in the video to this just like ginormous empty gym. And they're like, fact check. And then, you know, of course, there was a huge public outcry. And so then they're like, hey, look, we fixed it. And then all of a sudden, like, imagine that they were completely capable of doing this. Mm. They filled the gym with like all this equipment and yada, yada. OK, first of all. Like, clearly you were able to do that this entire time. If you could turn that around in 48 hours, there's a 0% chance that that was not always possible. Mm-hmm. Second of all, did you notice they had fucking soft mood lighting in the women's gym?
I did not notice that.
They had,
that.
Like, pink diffused lights behind white curtains, and it looked like a fucking waiting room of, like, a spa. And I was just like, this is... You don't need, like delicate lady gym with delicate lady weights. Like, these are fucking, like, gonna be professional athletes.
Yeah. I would love that lighting for myself.
I mean, yeah, but I'm not an athlete.
Exactly.
I can't lift shit.
Yoga mats?
That would have been fine for me. That's like, all I use. Give me the diffused lighting and the yoga mats and give the world-class athletes fucking gym equipment.
It's like, who was in charge of like stocking it, though? It seems like somebody who doesn't play sports was just like, I guess I'll get our 6 yoga mats.
Right, but that begs the question, why was someone who doesn't play sports in charge of the women's NCAA tournament then?
Yeah, because like, it's an afterthought to them.
Because it's an afterthought, because they're not concerned. They don't think of the women athletes as equals. And, you know, that's the whole thing is like, cool, you fixed it. Mm-hmm. But you don't get like a gold star because you got embarrassed and called out for doing something shitty. And so you fixed it. Like, you should be doing it right the first time.
Yeah. Their communications department is notoriously terrible. Like, they had plenty of time to come up with something. Well, to just say, like, oh, our bad. We'll address this. But instead they said, oh, there just wasn't enough space. And we're like...
Okay, like, here, let me do your job for you. Here's what you should have said. This was a horrible oversight. We're so embarrassed that this somehow happened and, like, slipped through the cracks. There's no excuse. Women have to deal with inequality in every part of life, including, apparently, in college sports, and we refuse to contribute to that in addition to everything else they have to deal with, and we promise to do better and we will do better.
Yeah,
there you go. Easy. I just wrote your fucking statement for
and
you.
Then we're all
so
like,
fucking
oh, great.
Easy.
Wow, we actually didn't see that level of, like, you know, maturity coming from you. But
please,
great.
Just hire me to write this shit for you. Like, it's my secondhand embarrassment when they're just like, my bad, here's your weights. Like, oh my god.
Yeah, and the weights were scented. You know,
just like a delightful, very tasteful light rose scent. Who doesn't want that on their weight?
Lilac, you know, lavender just pumping in. That's great.
Yeah. You didn't see the soft diffuse lighting. You should look up that picture. It's pretty comical.
Because that's inspo for me, just for my living area.
Right. Just hashtag design inspo. Anyway, the world is a dumpster, but it's
but
cool.
But we got half our stimmy left.
Yeah. Where are we going to blow the other $700?
Probably the same couple
diffused
places.
Lighting, scented weights.
Yeah. I'm trying to enter this El Pollo Loco tostada competition. That's where I am economically and where this country has forced me.
Economically, spiritually, emotionally.
Somebody sent it to me. They'd be like, you'd be perfect for this.
What did you say back to that?
I said, That is correct.
That is correct and also offensive at the same time.
It was a pause and then a, correct.
Unfortunately, that is correct, but don't ever recommend me for a fast food competition again.
Where I just have to eat a tostada. I have to eat a tostada and talk about the way that I eat it specifically. I eat my tostada like this.
That is so humiliating. What?
Eat the thing. And then if I'm selected, what do you win? You win $700. So what I'm saying is, that's the other half of my stimmy.
The other half of your stimmy.
Now I'm back at the 1400.
Okay.
You peasants. You know? I'm still rich. You all are doing whatever.
I saw on the internet today that, on the internet, aka hell, that Kylie Jenner's, like, this is not funny. This part is not funny. Her makeup artist was in a car accident and posted, like, her makeup artist that, like, works with her, you know, because, like, the really big celebrities, it's like, that's a full-time job just being that one person's makeup artist or hair person or whatever. And she posted on her Instagram story, I think she deleted it because it's gone now, but I saw a screenshot where she was like, you know, keep him in your prayers and swipe up to donate to his GoFundMe.
Oh, no.
And aren't I was like, bitch, I know that you and your billions of dollars did not just ask your predominantly teenage Instagram following to donate to your makeup. Regardless, even if it's like $500,000 in medical debt, she could, like, I read somewhere she makes $19,000 an hour.
Yeah.
She could take care of that in one day's work. One day's quote unquote work.
Wouldn't notice.
Wouldn't notice or care.
Wouldn't even kind of notice. And you.
So I guess what I'm trying to say is, can I hold $700, Kylie?
She's eating a lot of tostadas.
Mama needs a new pair of sneakers to piss off guys on the internet. What can I say?
Yeah.
Anyway, the world is a dumpster, as I was saying.
Yeah, part two. Yeah.
It's really horrifying. Well, next week we'll be back with more guests to help carry the podcast for us.
Sure.
But until then. Mm-hmm. Have a great week.
Goodbye. Don't spend it all in one place.
Goodbye.